Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, thanking you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, thanking you for an opportunity once again to be gathered in this place. Lord, just worshiping and serving you. And Lord, I thank you for an opportunity just to see your presence and direction in our lives each and every day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you give us victory, Lord, in our lives today. Lord, in each and every situation in our life, Lord, we know if we have fellowship and relationship with you, Lord, that there is true victory. And Lord, that we know that no matter what we might face in this world, Lord, whatever challenges come before us, that we can trust in you in each and every area of our lives. Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word now that you would just open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, that you would open our ears. Lord, that we might receive the message that you have for us as you speak through me today. Lord, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, if you have your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. I'll promise you right away that we're not going to get through the whole chapter, so we look at a few verses this morning as the Lord leads us, beginning in verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians. Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica here as a reminder even to the church. We discussed a little bit yesterday in our men's group about some of the letters of Paul and how he writes and some of the things that were specific to those things. And I think there's great opportunity in knowing that the Lord has purpose in his word in the life of the church. As we read the scriptures, he had purpose and direction for the churches as they were, as we read them in the New Testament. And he has the same goal and purpose for us as a church today. Think about some of these things. As we see there in verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." As Paul is writing to the church here, if you have to take into consideration chapter 4. We read a little bit in chapter 4. If you got time this week, it'd be a good opportunity to go back to the Word and kind of study through the Word here in Thessalonians. Give you something if you haven't read it in a little while. Consider what Scripture talks about in the end of chapter 4 there is that the dead in Christ will rise. And it talks about the picture of the Lord and taking His church from this earth. And if we think about it today, it's a great opportunity to just celebrate something that we really know nothing about. Scripture is very, very vague on some of the things as we consider it. And I think for very good reason, because God has called us to simply trust Him. With some things in His Word that we understand that there are some great promises. There's not a lot of detail. Most of us would like more detail about the end days and times and when things happen and when they're going to happen and how exactly they're going to happen. And without a doubt, for any of you that have studied at all in the end times, there's a lot of opinions. I think the greatest thing we could ever think about is just to not worry about an opinion and just trust what the Word of God says. But in the end of chapter 4 there, the Lord in His Word kind of reveals to us a little bit about what it might look like for the church to be, as it's mentioned in that verse, caught away. The church will be caught up or taken away. And then we move into chapter 5 this morning that we're talking about. And I think Paul defines it here specifically for us to think about. He says, "Of the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you," because they knew it. They knew something, and he says, as we consider it here, if we consider for a minute then chapter 4 that the scripture tells us that the church is caught away or caught up, then there's no reason to write for things, as Paul says here, the times and seasons aren't really that important for the church. Once we've stepped away and we're in relationship with the Lord, we've been caught up. He says some of these things are going to take place after the church is gone. And that's what he references here in that verse, that you have no need that I write unto you. He says, more specifically, that they had been trained in these things. You know, good consideration this morning in the life of the church is that we are trained in the Word of God. That we would take priority in studying the Word of God. And so then when we see instances like this, there shouldn't be a need for us to reiterate some of the things that are just normal process for the church today. There are some things for us this morning to consider in the life of the church that just should be automatic for us. Would you agree with that? There's some things as Christians that should just be automatic. There's no question for us because we see the Word of God. We've studied the Word of God. We know the truth. Very, very simple example of that is we know that the Bible says that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Really, honestly, even though the world likes to make that more difficult, there is no question about that. No question at all. The Bible says that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and I. And if we accept that willingly in our life, then we're destined to eternity with Jesus Christ. Simple. Right? Plain and simple. God has created that. And there are some things that we get caught up in the life of the church that really don't matter. sometimes. And I think Paul brings a little bit of a reminder in some of these areas when we read verses like this in chapter 5, verse 1. But then he goes on into verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now again, as he says here, they knew this. Why? Because they'd studied the Word of God. Because they had been taught it, they had been educated. And this morning we ought to know that these same things are true. But we consider today, he says, the day of the Lord. And in reference, when we see that very specifically here, he's speaking directly of the time that directly leads into that tribulation period in Scripture. That's what he's talking about. And he says here that it's going to come as a thief in the night. And it's a very specific thing for us. And you consider this morning, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know that we don't know when the Lord's return is, or when we as the church are going to go to be with the Lord. But the world today, apart from Jesus Christ, did you realize they don't know that? Right? Lost individuals that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that don't study the Word of God, they have no concern for the things of God. They have no concern for His time, for His plan, for His purpose. And it's why it's so important for us this morning as a church to take priority in knowing those things. He says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord is going to come. What does that mean? As a thief in the night. Now, I don't know anybody, honestly, that has probably ever left a note for the thief on your front door, right? Hey, I'm going to be gone from Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. So if you want to come in, you know, here's the key and here's this and here's that. We don't know when the thief is going to come. If we knew when the thief was going to come, we would stay around, right? We would make priority to stay there. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. The best scenario for us as a church is to be ready, right? Amen. We don't know when that time is going to be, but we know that God has called us to some very specific things in the church. That is to be ready, to be prepared for those things. He says in verse number 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And Paul brings a reminder to the church here in these things to consider as he writes to the church at Thessalonica that when we talk about the church being caught up and left, these are things that he references that the world is going to see after that fact. That's what he references here in that verse. That they're going to see these things and they're not going to know it, and it's going to come as though it was a thief in the night. They're going to be shocked. You realize today how oftentimes that the world is shocked with the movement of God? Amen. You see that? You ever think about those things? You think about some of the things that go on in our world today. I just love it when these natural disasters happen and people say, oh, it's Mother Nature. It's not Mother Nature, right? We don't have a Mother Nature. We have a Father God.
Amen.
That is in control of the wind and the sea and the waves and anything that He wants to be in control in. And what it would be like today if in these disasters people would say, man, look at the movement of God. What is He trying to tell us? What are we supposed to be paying attention to? You ever think about the movement of God in those ways when these great disasters come about? It's in Scripture if you didn't know it. That's a part of study of the Word of God. Amen. These things happen for a reason, not by chance, not because Mother Nature decided to create a storm yesterday, but because God knew from the very beginning of time that these things were going to happen. And we recognize this morning in the life of the church that God knows every detail of your life today. He knows your beginning and He knows your end. Amen. He knows your life today. He knows what it was yesterday. He knows what it's going to be tomorrow. And it's important for the church to come to recognition that we serve a God that knows all of those things, and that we recognize that the world we live in today doesn't know those things. And that it's our opportunity as a church to bring them to understanding of those things. He says in verse 3 there that they will say peace and safety, but sudden destruction is going to come. And the world is going to look around. Now, I wonder, this morning, you just consider, we talked a little bit about this yesterday in our men's group again, too, about that idea of that grace and peace, and we talked about some of these things. What do you think of when you think of peace and safety? What do you think about this picture? He says, they say peace and safety. This is what the world wants, right? We want world peace. We want everybody to be safe and warm and fuzzy and comfortable and life to be great. And if you read your Bible, you determine that's never going to happen. Right. It's not going to happen in this world. But this is what the world is looking for. We want peace. What is the world's definition of peace? Let everybody have whatever they want. Does that sound peaceful? Not at all, but that's what the world does, right? Give everybody what they want. Let them live their life. Do what they want to do when they want to do it, and we'll all be just fine. And if you haven't figured it out today, letting everybody do whatever they want does not come out very well, right? We don't live in a world of peace today because everybody gets whatever they want. We need structure. We need direction. We need the direction of Jesus Christ in this world.
He says here in this instance that the world is going to be in this condition. They're going to be in this situation, crying peace and safety, but it's going to be destruction. And the Bible talks about destruction like we've never seen before.
That's right.
Talks about a battle that will take place that will be like nothing we've ever seen before. Praise God, according to the Word of God, the church won't be here for that.
That's right.
We're caught up. That's what the Scripture said in chapter 4, right? We have opportunity to think about those things, but it's a warning that He gives. Why does He give it to the church? So that we can warn others, that we can teach others, that we can encourage others to faithful relationship with Jesus Christ and the knowledge of what the Lord is leading in. He says, travail upon a woman with child and they shall not escape. It's not something they can overcome. You think about that? Praise God, I don't know exactly how that feels. I've been there and witnessed it, but you women know what it's like, right? There's a great joy and an opportunity in bringing a child into this earth, and there's a great relief when it's all over. And for some crazy reason, women do it over again. I don't know why, but they do. There's this challenge. But thank God that they do. That God has created that very special thing. But there's a lot of pain, right? There's a lot of travail. There's a lot of difficulty. And what does Paul define here? This pain and suffering and travail doesn't go away. It's constant. It's ongoing. And it's eternal when we think about it, as he says there. But you, brethren, just as we've read many a times, we see that word brethren. He's talking to the church. Are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We should be watching for these. There's a warning that Paul gives to the church that we would be watching. That we would be ready for the things of God. That as we sit in this place this morning and we worship God, that our focus and our mind and our heart is on eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. That our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes and everything that drives us today as the church is about heaven and what is God doing to prepare us for that day. Now, what are this morning in the life of the church for us on a daily basis throughout your week? How often do you think about heaven? How often do you think about life beyond this world? How often do we think about what it's going to be like to see Jesus and to fellowship with Christ and be in relationship with Him and know the things that Scripture talks about? Just a normal process for most of us as individuals, I believe today, is to be busy about the things we do, and heaven is not a thought on our mind. Till a couple of things happen. Either somebody close to us passes away and we're now forced to think about death, right? We're forced to think about what goes on. If you read through those things, some of you probably do this on a regular basis. They list those obituaries in the newspaper. Some of you probably read through them just to make sure your name's not there, right? Make sure that who's there. Did I know somebody? I actually happened to be looking through the obituaries on my phone the other day and found out that somebody I've known for a really long time died and I didn't even know it. Live right down the road. 20 miles from here, didn't even know they passed away. Known them for a long time. We know those things. We read them. We see them. Try to figure out, what happened, right? There's a little bit of curiosity beyond that. We don't want to think about it because death is difficult for us. We don't want to swallow that. We don't want to comprehend those things. We don't want to think about death. We want to think about life. What do we think about today in the church if we thought about heaven? We thought about what heaven's going to be like. And what it's going to mean to be in fellowship and relationship with the Lord in a way that we can physically see Him. In a way that we've never seen Him before. And to get to spend everlasting life with Him. And we consider this morning, if we evaluate in our heart and our life today, if you think about heaven and it scares you, then there's a problem. If we think about heaven and knowing Jesus Christ and being in relationship with Him and it brings fear to your life, then today it's an opportunity for you to settle that. Because heaven should not bring fear, it should bring joy.
Amen.
It should bring peace and excitement. It should bring this thought in our mind that says, man, I want to be there and I want to get there and I want to fellowship and I want to see Jesus and I want everybody I know to do the same thing. That's what should drive the church today. If our focus is on heaven and what it means to see Jesus for eternity and be in relationship with Him, then it would change how we live our life each and every day. Monday through Saturday would be focused on Jesus Christ. We'd get up and go about the things that are necessary for us in our life, and we'd see the things of Christ, and we'd look for opportunity to do those things. And that's what he references in verse 4, that for us, that day of darkness is no surprise to us because we know about it. We know that the Word tells us that these days are coming. But it's also an opportunity for us to be in a constant conversation with the world around us about what it means to know Jesus. And to know that that day of darkness does not have to overtake them, but they can celebrate life in Jesus Christ. He says, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Oh, I think this morning, if you've come to saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we ought not to be living in darkness. There should not be this difficulty in our life today where we struggle with sin and difficulty and challenge and worry and stress. You know, today, one of the biggest things that is literally sending people to the grave is the amount of stress that people will allow to be in their life today. You go around and talk to the doctor. Go to the doctor yourself. You talk to people that go and get their yearly checkups. You're going to hear this conversation from medical professionals all over the world. One of the biggest struggles that we're dealing with today. Why are some of the problems happening in people's lives today? Because they're so stressed in their life. You consider just the very basics of what Jesus did for us, right? We consider this morning, if you realize that you are a sinner and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells you that you are forgiven of all of your sin, that you have hope of everlasting life, and that everything on this world is passing away, and we get to look forward to something totally new beyond anything that we could ever imagine in this world today. If we really think about that and we're focused on heaven, what in this world would bring stress to our life? We really focus on the fact that God is in control of everything in this universe.
That's right.
We just talked about it. Every detail of our life. If you believe that wholeheartedly in your life and you believe that He is the Lord of your life, you consider this morning what we do when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Not one of us has seen Jesus physically, right? We didn't get the blessing that the disciples did where they walked with Jesus and they saw Him face to face. If you came to saving relationship with Jesus, you did that by faith. And I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that God wants you to live by faith every single day.
Amen.
Believing that no matter what you're going to face today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, life is exactly what it needs to be. And I know that's easier said than done. I understand. It's easy to say. We read scriptures like that and say we can trust God. We can believe that God's taking care of us. We can believe that when we lose our job that we can still be taken care of. When we lose family members that we can be encouraged and strengthened. When we can look around our world and see all the struggle and difficulty, turn on the television and hear about the hundreds of thousands of people that are dying every day because of the disease and difficulty that's in our world. Can we still trust God?
Amen.
Can we still believe in the God that we say lives in our heart and our life? And Paul brings a challenge as we consider some of these things. He brings this thought for us to consider that we're not overtaken in those things and that we are the children of light. What would it look like today in the life of the church if as Christians we lived as though we were children of the light? That our focus and our thoughts were on the things of God and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, he says. We don't have to worry about those things. We don't have to be consumed with those things. We are children of the light. And if you consider what it means to be a child of the light, we now know that that darkness that so easily takes us over is not a part of a Christian life. So what do we do about it? What do we consider in our life today? Because I guarantee you, each and every one of us, if we were to go around the room, there are days of darkness, without a doubt. There are days of struggle and difficulty. Most important thing we can recognize today is that we are living in those days of darkness. We are living in the flesh and not in the spirit. It's difficult. It is. You recognize today that darkness does not come from the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That darkness comes from our human nature. That challenge, that difficulty, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're contemplating, whatever struggle you might be facing in your life, whatever questions and doubts and fears and worries you might have in your life, it's important for the church to recognize that God wants to free us from those things, and He's given us the ability to do that if we would just trust Him. If we would just believe in Him. And we would know that no matter what the world says and no matter what it looks like around us, we still have the light of Jesus in our life. Paul's calling out for the church here to be that light. You are the children of light. That gives us ownership. Gives us relationship. Because the minute you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were brought into the family of God.
Amen.
We now belong to Him. And we consider this morning what it means to be in the family of God. We recognize this morning, for most of us, as a general rule, we're kind of proud of who we are, right? We have this situation, not all the time. I understand there's some situations in family life where you may not want to claim some part of your family, one or the other. But for most of us, we like to take pride in who we are. We put our name on everything, right? We've got our first name, we've got our last name. When people ask, that's who we are. Hey, who are you? This is who I am. You consider this morning, what is your name? And what does it mean to you? And now you can start to think about all of those things that come into being who you are physically today. You start thinking about your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and all the things that brought you to this place where you are today. And what do we train our children in? This is who we are. This is what we do. We try to raise our children up. You consider this morning, when the name of your family is mentioned in this community, what do people think about? Maybe we don't want to think about that. I don't know. What do people think about? Do they think about Jesus? When your name individually is mentioned, believe it or not, people talk about you. That's just the way we are. Our human nature is we talk about people, right? Well, what if that was the case for every one of us today in the life of the church? When conversation was had about you or I, it was simply said that they are a follower of Jesus Christ and the light of Jesus is in their life. And there's no opportunity for darkness. I understand that that's not reality. The world we live in, there's a whole lot of negativity. But what if in our thoughts today and our understanding, we took priority in claiming who we are as children of the light? It's not a bad thing to be a Christian.
Amen.
It's the greatest thing in the world. It's the greatest opportunity we have in this world to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to proclaim that. The majority of the church today, unfortunately, is living their life, hiding their life in their relationship with Jesus Christ just because. Right? Just because it's normal, because it's uncomfortable, because somebody says that it's politically correct for me not to talk to you about who I am. Right? And not to share who I am and what I do. And what it is to know Jesus Christ. What if the priority of the church this morning was to tell everybody, first of all, hey, who are you? When you first meet somebody new and they ask you, hey, what do you do? Man, what a great opportunity. Well, first and foremost, I strive to follow Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how quickly that would change a conversation? You'd either have people walk away or you'd have somebody interested. Hey, what do you do for a living? Well, I do what God calls me to do. What does that mean? Get rid of some labels, right? I mean, you think about it, honestly. We all have labels. If you have a conversation with somebody who's never met you before, the first thing they want to know, what do? And nobody wants to say nothing, right? I mean, we don't say nothing. We take pride in what we do. Well, this is what I do. Even when we get to the place where we aren't in the workforce, right? For those of you that are retired, when somebody asks you, hey, oh, I'm retired. Well, then what do they want to know? What'd you retire from? So then you go down that road, right? You realize we don't ever retire being a Christian.
Amen.
That's a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. Why not start removing some of the labels that the world says and the world gives to the church and start being the children of light that God's called us to be? It's all in a matter of conversation. It's all in the direction that we have a conversation. But we don't always want people to know we're a Christian, right? If they know I'm a child of the light, it means they're going to expect me to live like that. It means I'm not going to have any fun, right? Because being a Christian is the most boring thing in the world. I understand that. That's the way the world looks at it, and that's the way some Christians look at it. If I'm a Christian, I can't do what I want. I can't have fun. Can't go out with my friends. Can't do what I want to do. What if as the church, we went out together as friends and did what God called us to do? We really find the joy of being a Christian and living in the light of Christ. We take responsibility this morning in recognizing that God, when you come to relationship with Him, we are now a child of the light. And we ought to be excited about that. We encourage in our life to be a child of God. The children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. If there's darkness and challenge and difficulty in our life today, that's not Jesus Christ. And it's not what He's calling us to be. And we have to recognize that darkness for what it is. It's not hard today, right? You all know when it's dark. Right? Darkness is obvious. It is. Think about that darkness. And the normal thought process for most of us in the picture of darkness is to turn the light on, right? We want to have light. We want to be able to see. Darkness creates an issue for us. Just the way we are. Some of you probably see better in the dark than others. But reality is we don't see as well as we could when it's dark, right? We want to turn the light. That's why we praise the Lord for electricity. We flip the switch on. Even in the middle of the day, if we were to walk back there and flip the lights off, it's going to get dark in here. Things are going to change. Even in the middle of the day. Darkness is not comfortable for most of us, except for when we want to go to sleep. Right? We want to close our eyes. It doesn't matter if the lights are on or not. When our eyes are closed, we don't worry about it. But you think about it this morning, it should not be comfortable in the life of the church to live in darkness. If you're walking in darkness and sin and struggle and doubt and worry and fear today, it's not because of God. It's because of you and that human nature that lives in you. And God's called us for something greater and a true commitment to Jesus Christ, being the child He's called us to be. Look what he says in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Here's the warning for the church, right? Let us watch. Watch for what? For the movement of God. Watch for eternity. Watch for the blessings of Jesus Christ. Watch for that hope of everlasting life and the day to come when He's going to come and take His church out of this filthy, dirty, dark world that we live in and be in true light with Jesus Christ. We ought to be looking for those things. If you haven't recognized this morning, in the life of the church today in 2020, we're living in the end days. We ought to be watching for that.
Amen.
And the disciples in the New Testament were pretty sure they were living in these end days as well. So what does that mean for us? It means we don't have a clue. It means only God knows. And it means the responsibility is the same as it was for the disciples, as it is for us today, that we be prepared and ready and live as we're the light of Christ. Live in it every day and rejoice in it. Be the Christian God has called you to be. Be the church that God has called you to be. Be the faithful servant that God has called you to be. Be the faithful father, the mother, the child, the student in our schools, the boss in your workplace, whatever it is. Be that person that God has called you to be and be the light for Jesus Christ and be prepared for Him to return at any minute. You consider today how many relationships and communications we have every single day with people that don't know who Jesus is. Every day. And if I have that and I know that and I don't share it with individuals that I come in contact with, who's going to? And how are they going to know? And how are they going to be prepared? I think about this in the instance of the workplace. You ever been in this workplace setting? Maybe for those of you that are in the workplace or have been in times past, you ever been in the workplace when the boss comes around and says, hey, the big boss is coming? Right? You ever been around one of those situations? What happens? Everybody's on the move, right? Things are happening that never happened before. Stuff's going this way, going that way. Stuff's getting cleaned up. People are making things look good. Everybody wears their nicest dressed clothes to work. They make sure their office is in order and everything happens. And we get everything ready to go, right? Because the boss is coming. Why? It's natural for us. That's just what we do. We want to make everything look right. What would it be like today in the life of the church if that's the way we lived every single day? The boss is coming today. I want my life to be what Jesus wants it to be. Amen. The King is coming. Right. And as a Christian, I want to be right before Him today. I want my life to be cleaned up. I want my office to be organized. I want everything to be set in place. I want when Jesus looks at me today in my heart and my life, I want Him to be able to say, there's a faithful child of mine. He's doing what I've called him to do. I don't know what God's called you to do today. I don't know what you've been putting off. But I know that the King is coming.
Amen.
And I know that He's calling us to be the child He's asked us to be. And He may come today, and He might not come. Never such a letdown when the boss says He's coming, and then you get the phone call 10 minutes before He's supposed to be there. Oh, by the way, something came up. I ain't coming. And the first thing that comes to our mind when that happens is what? Man, I did all that for nothing. Right? That's just the way it is. We cleaned all that up, and we did all this for what? Man, there's something to rejoice in when we're prepared for the King to come and we get to heaven and we say, man, I did that because I wanted to honor the God. Because I wanted to honor my Savior. Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you live the life that you live? Do you celebrate Him being a child of God? Walk in the light? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Looking for those things. What does it mean? You consider sobriety today. That's a term that is used and not so often in the church, right? Well, truly what it means is that we're not under the influence of anything. That's what it means. We get to the real, very basic definition of that. Sobriety means there's nothing controlling us today but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the call that God gave and that Paul is bringing to the church, that we'd set aside everything else in our life and only be in subjection to Jesus Christ. We'd be sober in our hearts. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, look what he says, be sober. And he gives us some instruction and direction. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. That's what we talked about a while ago, right? By faith we believe in Jesus Christ. By faith we walk in our life every single day, believing that God has a plan and a purpose. And look what he says, and love. by faith and love. And he says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is how he's given us instruction on how to live. How do we get to where we're the children of the light, that we're walking in the light, we're living in that life, that we walk by faith and we walk in love and we put on that helmet. The joy of salvation. The hope of salvation. We put on those things. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most important verses we could ever consider today. God has appointed us to salvation. That means that the Bible tells us that it's His will that none would perish. Not one person. So important for the church today to understand this morning in your life that person that you're at odds with, that coworker that you can't get along with, that family member that you just struggle with every single day, that stranger on the street or the neighbor next door that you can't stand, God wants them to know who He is and know everlasting life. And when we get to the place in our life in the church where we realize that and we understand that what I want doesn't really matter, what matters most is what God wants. And if we're a child of God, we ought to let Him do what He wants to do in our life today. Amen. Whatever that means. I don't know what it means. Maybe it's not a relationship problem with you. Maybe it's a personal situation. Maybe you've been telling God no for a really long time. And you're wishing that God would keep blessing you and keep leading you and guiding you in your life, but you keep telling Him no. And the normal process for most Christians is to say, I would never say no. I just say, wait, not yet, God. I'm not ready yet. When I get everything else in order, when I get things lined out, when we get everything figured out in our life, in this situation, in that situation, then we'll do what You want us to do. That's not being obedient to the Lord. You might as well just say no and do what you want to do. And continue on in that situation. He says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That's the purpose. Who died for us, that whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with Him. Realize that's why Jesus died, so that every person in this world could know everlasting life. And whether we're alive today, or whether our last breath is today, by the end of the day, that we're going to spend eternity with Him. That our mind and our heart today in the life of the church is focused on heaven. And if we get there today, praise God. If we get there next year, praise God. If it's 20 years from now, if it's 100 years from now. Most important thing is that we know that we're ready to meet Him when that time comes. We're ready to be in fellowship and relationship with Him. Wherefore, look what he says in verse 11, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. This is important for the church today. What does he say? Live in Jesus Christ. Live as a child of the light. And then he talks to the church. Comfort yourselves together. What does that mean? Come together. Be the church that God's called us to be. I think when He gives us a reminder that we would comfort ourselves together is a reminder that there's going to be a need for comfort, right? There's a situation in our lives each and every day when we're going to come to a situation where we comfort each other. And what does it really mean to comfort each other, right? There's a couple scenarios that we think about. Moms are really good at this. Moms, struggle goes on with the kids. Kid falls down, scrapes her knee. Mom runs over in a panic, picks them up, kisses them, hugs them, fixes up their knee, bandages it real good, keeps asking them all day long if they're okay. Dad's picked the kid up, dusted their knee off, say, get back to doing what you're doing. I ain't got time to worry about it, right? We don't understand comfort so well sometimes. But guess what? God knows comfort. And God knows, and moms know that there's something deeper there, right? That their children were hurt. God knows it deeper than any mother could ever imagine. He knows our heart. He knows our life, and He's intending for the church to comfort each other. If there's comfort in the church, and God's calling for comfort in the church, it's because He knows that the church needs it. And He knows that you and I need it. There's times in our life when we just need to love each other, when we just need to encourage each other. You know what normal process is? When we in the church body see somebody struggling and hurting in their life, what's the first thing we do? Good Christians. I'll pray for you. Right? And then what? Get as far away from it as we can possibly get, because I don't want to get in the middle of that. We just don't. We don't want to be in the middle of anybody's problems. We don't want to see their struggle and their difficulty, because I got my own problems. I got my own difficulty, and I don't want to be there. You realize this morning, if we would love each other the way God's called the church to love each other, and we'd comfort each other and encourage each other, when that person is in need and situation, we're going to find out we're going to be comforted in ways that we didn't even know we needed. We're going to learn to be the church that God's called us to be. Comfort yourselves together, he says. And look what he says, then edify. That is build each other up. One of the greatest struggles in church life today is the tearing down of the church from the inside out. We get to the fellowshipping together, we get to loving each other, and then we start to realize, oh man, I don't really like her. I don't like the way he talks to me. I don't like the way he looks at me. He didn't even shake my hand last Sunday. He must not want to be around me. All these things that the old devil likes to put in our minds and our thoughts because of our human nature creeps in. And the Lord says we ought to build each other up. We ought to lift each other up. Edify. Look for opportunities to encourage each other. Look for opportunities to do these things. I know it's natural for us to tear people down. That ain't no problem at all. That just comes natural to us. We do it all the time. Because we gauge everybody else on our own opinions and our own thoughts and our own ideas. I look around the world and I gauge everybody based off of what I think is most important in my mind. I gauge their actions and their attitudes off of what I would do. And that's not always right. Matter of fact, most of the time it's probably not right. It's good for me. It may not be what God's calling for. But we get to a place in the church where our only focus was to love each other, build each other up, edify each other. Man, we'd see the movement of God in this church like we've never seen before. You know what would happen in the body of Christ in Solid Rock if we just learned to edify and build each other up? Then the community would see something from this church that they've never seen before, and they would be drawn to Jesus Christ. Because of the edification of the church. Because we love each other enough. Even also as you do. He says that's a reminder. As you go. As you're doing the things that you do in your life. We build each other up. Encourage each other. Love each other. I don't know what the Lord's telling you to do today. I don't know where your heart is this morning. I know that God's called us to be children of the light. Well, His desire in our heart is for us to be in right fellowship and relationship with the Lord today. To strive to be a child of the King. Looking to eternity. Engaging everything we do in our life today based off of what is going to happen in eternity. How is it going to impact eternity today? The Lord's telling you to do something today. Would you do it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you for your direction from your word this morning and the challenge that you bring to my heart, Lord, just to know that, Lord, each and every day I fail you. I struggle and I'm weak. And I fail you each and every day, Lord, but because of your love and your grace and your mercy, you've given me the opportunity to know you as my personal Savior. And Lord, you've already forgiven me of those things at the cross. And Lord, I pray this morning in this room, in this place, Lord, that we'd learn to forgive each other. That we'd learn to forgive ourselves in situations where we've let ourselves down in doing the things that we've been called to do and we've most of all let you down. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction to our hearts this morning. Lord, at this time of invitation, that you would remove all barriers. Lord, I pray that you would remove Satan from this place. That you'd remove doubt and fear and worry and concern. And Lord, that you'd just help us to learn to forgive and to love and encourage and edify and build each other up. And Lord, that we might be the church that you've called us to be today. Lord, you know every heart and every life in this room. Lord, maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They've never truly asked you to come into their heart, into their life, to forgive them their sin, to be the Lord of their life. I pray that you'd help them to come. Lord, in this time of invitation, as we stand and sing, that they just walk down this aisle. They wouldn't hesitate. They walk down this aisle. Lord, just to let me know that they need to be saved, and I'll help them to see from your word what it means to know you today. Lord, maybe there's some that can say honestly they've done that, but they've never been obedient to you in the next steps. Lord, maybe there's someone here that needs to be baptized. They haven't been doing it. They've been putting it off for whatever reason. They've been saying, I'm going to do it one of these days. We'll get it done. Lord, I pray you'd just help them to make that commitment today, to be a child of yours and to say yes and be obedient to what you've told them to do today. Lord, whatever your will is in their life, I pray you'd help them. Lord, maybe there's other situations. There's sin that needs to be confessed. Lord, maybe there's someone here that needs to come and join this church and just commit to be a part of what's going on here in this place. Lord, wherever you lead us to be as a church in the days ahead, I pray you'd help them to be obedient to that. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, we're going to trust you with it. Lord, we're going to give you all the praise, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use the hymnal, it's page 300. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place and your word. And Lord, a reminder that you bring to our hearts from your word today. I pray you just guide us from this place. Lord, as we worship together here, Lord, that we would just edify and encourage and build each other up. And Lord, as we go out into the world this week, that we would be a shining light for you. Lord, that we would take pride in being a child of God. And Lord, that we would just work to serve you and be obedient to you this week. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.